Reaction as it happens. And your reaction from five on the open line. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good afternoon, welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. A tough week for Rangers ends in them hosting Kilmarnock as they look to cut Celtic's lead at the top. The Hoops will have the chance to respond tomorrow when they head to Dundee. The weather is causing havoc, the battle of the Saints falls foul, but the big battle for the top six survives. I'm Gordon Duncan, joining me in the studio is Alex Ray, Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans. But let's go straight to Ibrox and get team news ahead of Rangers and Kilmarnock with Alison Conroy and Gordon DL.
Good afternoon, Gordon from Ibrox. Four changes for Rangers this afternoon after that 2-0 Scottish Cup defeat to Aberdeen in midweek. It's two changes for Kilmarnock after that win at St Mirren on Monday night. So Rangers will have McGregor in goal, a back four of Tavernier, Katic, Goldson and Halliday. Then it'll be Koulibaly, Davis and Kamara. Up top, Candias, Morelos and Kent. On the bench, Fodringham, Worrell, Barisic, McCrory, Gresda, Lafferty and Defoe. For Kilmarnock, it'll be Backman in goal, a back four of O'Donnell, Binley, Broadfoot and Taylor. Then the three of Power, Dicker and Malum, with Burke and McKenzie just in behind the lone striker of Brophy. On the bench for Killie this afternoon, McDonald, Bruce, Boyd, McElhaney, Miller, Millen and Tishbola. Gordon DL, we look at these two teams, start with Rangers. Are you surprised with some of these changes this afternoon?
Yes, I am, but obviously I think Steven Gerrard's been disappointed with the Aberdeen game, and he's had a think about it and thought, right, I'm going to mix things up, whether one or two is injured. It's a big day for Rangers, Alison. I've really got to say that. Because they play a Kilmarnock side that will come here full of confidence. They know that games have been tight, apart from obviously when Backman, the goalkeeper, gets sent off and Rangers won 5-0 and Kilmarnock were down to 10 men. But apart from that, games have always been tight. Kilmarnock are a very well-disciplined side and they will cause problems here. Rangers have got to get the 3 points because there'll be a packed house. You know, Rangers fans coming along expecting Rangers to win. And after the break as well, international break, they go to Celtic Park. They've got to go with a bit of confidence.
How much extra pressure is on Rangers this afternoon given that result in midweek?
Massive. Absolutely massive. Not just for the fact of the loss to Aberdeen. A one-off game, you can do that. But they're 8 points behind Celtic. Celtic play tomorrow up at Dens Park and you'd expect, no disrespect, Celtic to pick up 3 points. So they've got to bounce back. They've really got to go and put a performance on and win this game. But let me say, Steve Clark knows how to beat Rangers and he will come here with confidence.
As you say, it was 5-0 in the Scottish Cup replay last month, but Kilmarnock haven't lost to Rangers in the league this season. Can Steve Clark use that?
Yes, I think he'll look at the 5-0 defeat and he'll put, you know, the onus on the fact that they lost their goalkeeper so early. It went down to 10 men. It's always difficult, especially at a place like Ibrox. So I think Kilmarnock, he'll go with an attacking lineup. He'll go with two up. He'll try and cause Rangers problems. Rangers have made a few changes at the back as well. Katic has come in. So he'll probably go and try and test Rangers and he'll try and test this crowd because it's a great cliche about if you can silence the crowd in the first 15 or 20 minutes, that makes you get, you know, get yourself into the game and build on that. So Rangers have got to start on the front foot. They've really got to, you know, get the crowd up, get the first goal and try and get the vital 3 points that they need.
So it's Katic, Halliday, Koulibaly and Davis that come in for Rangers this afternoon, Gordon.
Gordon Dale's right. There'll be an unforgiving atmosphere at Ibrox today in the wake of Aberdeen's Cup win there on Tuesday night. Although, Gordon Duncan, I would have to say to you, I think perhaps that Steve Gerrard has actually been too candid since Tuesday night. He's spoken about the need to win a trophy next season or else. For me, league titles are decided by arithmetic. There are 27 points still to be played for. The gap between Celtic and Rangers is 8 points. I just wonder if Steven Gerrard has talked down Rangers' chances prematurely.
I wouldn't think so. I think Steven Gerrard has been totally realistic with what he's come out and said, and I'm reading the newspapers today. I think he's been brutally honest about his squad. He realises the players he brought in probably haven't stood up to it, and he's called for bigger characters, and he says he needs some marquee signings. That was a big one for me, marquee signings. And that says to me that Rangers will throw everything at it next year. I think, as I said, Steven Gerrard's realistic like the rest of us. He knows the point gap is big and the games are running out. but he needs a reaction from his players. He can't let the season fizzle out, and he can't afford to let that points gap drift in to double figures, or then it does turn out to be a disaster.
How big is it today, Alex Ray?
Yeah, it's monumental on the back of a disappointment in midweek. It's how these players react, Gordon. We say this time after time, they've got an opportunity to bridge the gap down to 5 points. He's brought in some players who, you know, I think a lot of the Rangers fans have been saying Katic should be in from the last several weeks as well. Been disappointing at the back. It's an opportunity to see Stephen Davis. So we haven't quite seen enough of Stephen Davis for me. He came in January as a marquee signing. Didn't really quite hit the heights. It's an opportunity for him. The front three is the same, Gordon. But it's whoever wins this individual battle today in the middle of the park, you know, the individual kind of areas. You've got Dicker, Power and Malumbu. Three decent aggressive players will put their foot in, and Kamara, Koulibaly and Davis have to win that battle if Rangers are going to get any joy today.
Gordon Neil, what do you make of that midfield? I'm sure Stephen Gerrard would much rather have been able to choose the likes of Scott Arfield and Ryan Jack. He doesn't have that luxury this afternoon. I know some Rangers fans have been on our show last night wanting to see Ross McCrory, but it's Koulibaly that gets the nod in there.
Yeah, well, you look at the midfield and I think that Alex Wright, it'll be a massive battle in there. You look at Kamara, for instance, he's settled into the Rangers side and he's played very well, you've got to say. Stephen Davis came here with a massive reputation and probably massive wages as well. And we all thought, and let's be honest, we all thought it would be a terrific signing. It's not happened for him. He doesn't look the same player. It's a big, big game for him. He's got to show the Rangers fans that he's still got something to offer this club. And obviously Koulibaly coming in there as well. So it'll be interesting to see how they play together in the middle of the park, because that's where you've got to dominate the game. You've got to go and win that battle in there. That's so important. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes.
Let's hear from both managers, starting with Stephen Gerrard.
Well, I think if they've got anything about them, if they've got character and personality and they've got feelings and they understand the club and the supporters, and I think it should be quite straightforward in terms of what you need to give moving forward. So yeah, I mean, it won't be any more straightforward than normal. We won't change much in terms of our preparation, how we go about messages and strengths and weaknesses of opposition. But I think sometimes you end up in situations as a player and as a team where tactics and information has to come second. It's about you and what you give in terms of your performance. And I'm expecting a performance for the supporters. It's got to be about the supporters, because that was a tough one for them to take on Tuesday, and we understand that.
Up against Stevie Clark this afternoon.
For us, it's never about cutting the gap or closing down. I always speak about our performance. I think over the last couple of league games, Motherwell here at home, St Mirren away, we looked a little bit like we're old selves again. Hard to beat, resolute and decent on the ball as well, with creating a few chances. So if we can continue that, and it's good enough to get us a point or 3 points, then that'll be great. We don't fear any team in the league. We respect everybody, but we don't fear anybody.
It's a free hit for Kilmarnock. There's no pressure on Stevie Clark or any of the Kilmarnock players. You know, they've had a reasonable season. They hit a bad patch where they went 8 games without a win, but they remain high in the league table. So it's a free hit for them. They have been a pest for Rangers, none more so than when the winter break ended and they beat Rangers 2-1, the first game back after the resumption. So it's a free hit for them, but Stephen Gerrard under immense pressure this afternoon.
So that's you up to speed with team news ahead of the big one at Ibrox, Rangers against Kilmarnock. Let's go around the rest of the grounds and get a flavour for what's happening. Fraser Wishart is watching Hamilton and Hearts at the Hope CBD Stadium. Fraser.
Conditions fine here, Gordon. No real wind. The snow and the rain is gone as well, and no snow on the pitch. So a very important game for Accies. Of course, with the St Mirren game being postponed, I think it gives this game a wee bit more importance for Hamilton Accies, because a win would see them 7 points ahead of Saints at the bottom and going into the international break in a pretty good mood. They did a great win a couple of weeks ago at Pittodrie, and that gave them that 7 point cushion. But next up was last Saturday. They had a poor performance against Motherwell, 3 down by half time, and I think that showed the inconsistency and why they're near the bottom of the league. Brian Rice has come in, and I think performances have improved, and they've got some big games pre-split. They've got Kelly, Livy and St Mirren after today, and there's games that they think they can win and a great chance to put points on the board. But as always, they'll find it hard against Hearts, who have a bit inconsistent themselves and grinding out results recently. And Hearts actually have a great record against Hamilton Accies. They won 4-1 here in August. Conditions a bit different in the first game of the season, and 2-0 in Tynecastle on Boxing Day. In fact, Hearts have only lost one of the last 15 matches against Accies, so the omens are good for them. Still in the running for fourth or maybe even third in the chase for European place. Hearts must win today if they even think about getting above Kelly and Aberdeen before the end of the season. A 3-point points behind Kelly and four behind Aberdeen. If I give you the teams, only one change from that heavy defeat last week for Hamilton Accies. In comes McGowan for Chiembi, and there's a change in formation to 3-5-2. Gary Woods is in goals, Alex Gogic, Matt Kilgallen and Ziggy Gordon at the back. In midfield, Aaron McGowan, Scott Martin, Darry McKinnon, Tony Andrew and Lenny Soa, with George Oakley and Mikael Miller as the strikers. On the bench for Accies, Ryan Fulton, Delphin Chiembi, Dougie Imrie, David McMillan, Regan Mimno, Lewis Smith and Stephen Boyd. Four changes for Hearts from the team that beat Partick Thistle during the week: Godinho, Lee White, and perhaps surprisingly, Ek Piazu drop out, with Brandon Haring, Vanacek and Morrison coming in. 4-4-2 for them. Zedek Zlamal in goals, Jamie Brandon, John Souter, Crystal Berra and Ben Garuccio at the back, Callum Morrison, Peter Haring, Arno Jume and Jake Moraney in midfield, with up front Sean Clare and David Vanacek. The substitutes for Hearts: Colin Doyle, Oliver Bozanic, Craig Whiten, Uche Ekpeazu, Harry Cochran, Clevid DiCamona and Aidan Keener. And the referee today at Hamilton is Willie Collin.
Thank you to Fraser Wishart in Hamilton. What about at Pittodrie, Dave Galloway? It's been quite the week for Aberdeen, but back to league business and back to a venue which hasn't been a happy home for Aberdeen in the league recently.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Gordon. Well, the Aberdeen players have an extra spring in their step after Tuesday's Scottish Cup quarter-final replay win over Rangers at Ibrox, and before that, becoming the first Premiership team to take anything away from Parkhead this season, a hard-fought goalless draw against Celtic. Yes, the Dons have an excellent away record, but as you've touched on at home, it's a different story. Pretty poor. Derek McInnes' side have not won a league game at Pittodrie since beating Hearts just before Christmas, and they're determined to put things right here against the Livingston side, who made things very tough for their hosts on their previous visit before Lewis Ferguson's 92nd minute winner won it for Aberdeen. The Dons make two changes, I can tell you. Sam Cosgrove and Mikey Devlin replacing Andy Considine and Dean Campbell. It's Joe Lewis in goals. Across the back, Dom Ball, Scott McKenna, Mikey Devlin and Max Lowe. Midfield, Niall McGinn, Lewis Ferguson, Graham Shinney and Conor McLennan. Up top, Sam Cosgrove and Stevie May. The subs, Cherney, Halford, Gleeson, Campbell, Ross, Stewart and Wilson. As for Livingston, well, they are unchanged. So it's Liam Kelly in goals at the back, Declan Gallagher, Alan Lithgow, Craig Halkett and Kieran Brown. Five in midfield, Steve Lawson, Keegan Jacobs, Scott Pittman, Scott Robinson and Craig Sibbald, with Chris Erskine leading the line for Livy. Their substitutes today are Stewart, DeVita, Odefin, Burnett, Lawless, Tiffany and Hardy. And match referee at Pittodrie, Don Robertson.
Let's delve into the Championship quickly, because the Battle of the Saints is off. That's the only game in the top flight which has fallen foul to the weather. St Johnson against St Mirren. A quick detour for our man Andrew McLean sees him at Falkirk. Partick Thistle, huge game in the Championship, Andrew.
Yeah, a massive game here, and it's actually the only Championship game that survives today. The other three are off, so this maybe will be a good chance for one of these sides to put pressure on the teams above them if they can get all 3 points. But both these sides, of course, fighting off relegation at the moment, but their recent form shows that they are on the up. Reid McKinnon's side, they're in eighth, a point above Partick Thistle, but they have played a game more. Impressively though, they've only lost once in their last 9 games, and that was last time out away to runaway leaders Ross County. As for Thistle, ninth, 2 points above Alloa, who are bottom of the table, and they're having to deal with that memory of the Scottish Cup quarter-final exit to Hearts in midweek. But they have had good wins against Dundee United and Inverness recently, but you never really know what Partick Thistle side are going to turn up. In terms of team news, two changes for Falkirk. Jarvis and McLean drop out. Keeler Dunn and Rudden come in. A 4-5-1 for them. Harry Burgoyne in goal. It's a back four of Jordan McGee, William Edgingwelly, Kieran McKenna and Paul Dixon. The five across the midfield: Demantis Petrovicius, Ian McShane, Abdul Osman, Paul Payton and Davis Keeler Dunn, with Zach Rudden the lone striker. The subs: Fizan, Kidd, Todorov, Robson, Jarvis, McLean and Waddington. As for Partick Thistle, two changes for them as well. Stephen Anderson and Christy Elliott both picked up injuries in that game on Tuesday night. They drop out. McGinty and Cardle in for them. 4-4-2 for Partick Thistle. Connor Hazard in goal, a back four of Jack McMillan, Sean McGinty, Stephen Saunders and James Penrice. The midfield four: Joe Cardle, Stuart Bannigan, Craig Slater and Blair Spittle, with Lewis Mansell and Scott McDonald. The strike partnership substitutes: Sneddon, Doolan, Harkins, Gordon, Story, Fitzpatrick and Roy. The referee for this one is Mike Roncone.
Now, what a huge game we've got in the capital, Easter Road. Hibs against Motherwell. The battle for the top six is really heating up, and it's going to be not quite decided, but a long way to being decided today there. Steve Cowan is watching that one for us. Hi, Steve.
Hi there. Yeah, and I think you're right. Both teams will be going for it today. I expect goals from both sides today. You look at the players on show: McNulty, Camberi for Hibs on form, Turnbull and Hasty for Motherwell. So good attacking options all over the park. The pitch looks good. It's still raining really heavily here, but I don't see any danger of the game going off. Hibs, first of all, make one change from the team that drew 1-1 with Rangers. Out goes Darren McGregor. He is obviously suspended, sent off, and replaced by Vykintas Slavica. So they start off with a 4-4-2 with Ofir and Marciano in goals. A back four of David Gray, Mark Milligan, Paul Hanlon and Lewis Stevenson. A midfield four of Stefan Omeyinga, Stevie Marlin, Vykintas Slivka and Daryl Horgan. And up front, the two goal scorers, as I mentioned there, Mark McNulty and Florian Camberi. Motherwell, as you say, also in good form. They'll be pushing hard today for those 3 points. They start with a 4-3-3. They make no changes to the team that beat Hamilton 3-0. They go with Mark Gillespie in goal. Back four of Liam Grimshaw, Tom Aldred, Charles Dunn and Richard Tate. A midfield three of Alan Campbell, Alex Rodriguez and David Turnbull. And a front three of Jack Hasty, Curtis Main and Gaboli Ariba. The subs for Hibs, just to let you know, Drabowski, Bartley, Shaw, Murray, Mackey, Murray, that's Innes Murray and Lewis Allen. And for Motherwell, they've got Ferguson, McHugh, Hartley, Freer, Donnelly, Johnson and Scott. And today's match referee is Kevin Clancy.
Let's hear from both managers ahead of that one then. Paul Heckingbottom first up.
A very tough one. Everyone's found them difficult to beat. They're on a fantastic run of form. And they're chasing, so they're dangerous, they're hungry. For all intents and purposes, they could have been approaching these last few games with a must-win attitude. You know, games are running out and they're still chasing, so it means for a dangerous team, nothing to lose. So regardless of how the pattern of the game goes, at some point they'll be throwing everything at us and we have to be ready for that. We're obviously in a good position. Looking at Motherwell's games we've got left, they've got some tough ones, so again, that'll influence their approach. And it's two teams, we've had it before with St Johnson, where you can get one over and on your nearest competitor, if you like. Sometimes you win, and your opponents win, and the gap stays the same. We know on Saturday that there'll be a 3-point swing whichever way, so that's really important.
A 100th game in charge for Stephen Robinson, 2 years after taking the job. Here's what he had to say.
It's something to aim for, you know, as you say, after the Ross County game, if somebody had said, you know, 6 or 7 games down the line, you would have a chance of going into the top six at the game away to Hibs, you'd have taken it. And it shows how good our form's been. You know, and it's got us into a position to look up the way. But we have to continue that. We can't take our foot off the gas. We can't take anything for granted that will happen. It's been a lot of hard work, a lot of coaching. A lot of credit must go to the coaching staff here as well. You know, I said in the manager a month thing, it was more a reward for everybody around the football club, the small percentages. We work extremely hard, and I credit all the staff here.
That's a huge game, Hugh Keevans. In this part of the world, we understand why Rangers and Kilmarnock's getting a lot of the headlines. But look at that one at Easter Road, it's a cracker.
Let it be said that Stephen Robinson is a highly credible centurion today. 100 games in charge of the club. He's taken them to cup finals. He's maintained a high league position. The job he has done is first class. And he has also brought through these outstanding young players at the same time. Jake Hasty, Campbell. You know, so they have everything going for them at the moment. It's just as well, though, that Stevie Cowan's not up front for the Hibs the way he used to be, banging them in there. But they'll need to make do with McNulty and Camberi instead.
That's the scene set then ahead of a big afternoon across Scottish football. Rangers, Kilmarnock, Hamilton, Hearts, Aberdeen, Livy and Hibs Motherwell in the top flight. Our featured championship game is Falkirk, Partick, Thistle. We'll get the guys involved as we look back on the week's biggest stories. That's coming next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Win the compensation you deserve. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Evans, Mark Wilson and Alex Ray are here in the studio. We've got the top team all around the grounds as well as we build up to Rangers, Kilmarnock, Hamilton Hearts, Aberdeen, Livy, Hibs, Motherwell and in the Championship, Falkirk against Partick Thistle. Now at this stage on a Saturday, we always take a look back on the week's biggest story or the week's biggest stories. Alex Ray, certainly since Tuesday evening, the biggest talking point has been Rangers. Not only the immediate fallout from exiting the Scottish Cup, but the bigger question of where Rangers are at. Have they progressed since last season? How much have they progressed since last season? What would your answer be to the above?
Well, I was writing down some notes earlier on in terms of some of the personnel here that they had at their disposal last year. You guys like Dalziel, Dudu, Cardozo, Herrera, you know, young Jason Holtz went down, Karancher. You know, there's some really poor players that want to contribute. And this season, for me, they're actually playing a better brand of football. Where they're struggling is they're lacking for consistency when it really matters. That goes back to Steven Gerrard's question of, you know, mentality, Gordon, because there's been times when they've went into games you're thinking they can close a gap, or, you know, they can make an impact. So for me, they have done. In terms of the cup competitions, extremely, extremely disappointing. You know, in the manner in which I was at the game on Tuesday night, they were really poor. Didn't offer a great deal. And Steven Gerrard was right in saying that they offered nothing man to man. They didn't compete well enough. European wise, I think they've done more than was expected. And you have to factor that into coming back on the back of that, because then the majority of these players as well have never competed at that level. So you have to negotiate with 14 ties, either coming back or having played against better opposition. So over the course, I think there's progression, but they have to go a good bit, because the gap between them and Celtic is still considerable. And it's a big summer for Steven Gerrard and Mark Allen in recruitment.
So progression, but not as much as you would have liked. Is that a fair summary?
Absolutely. But this, Gordon, it's fine margins, and you look about where, you know, and I think we would go back to mentality and seeing out games. There's going to be times, so I was sitting with Marvin Andrews at a dinner last Friday, and he says, even when you're playing ugly, you need to grind out a result. And I don't know if Rangers have actually got that. And if you take an example of Celtic recently, where they've nicked late winners at Kilmarnock and Hearts, that shows character, and that's what Rangers need to get into their squad, so that when it's not going their way, they need to end up nicking points so that it makes a difference come the end of the season.
Hugh, you were out gallivanting last night, so we've actually not spoken to you since Aberdeen knocked Rangers out of the cup. What about that bigger question then, this question of progress?
Yes, they have progressed, but not to the satisfaction of the manager or the players, and certainly not the supporters. But I go back to the point that we seem to be holding an inquest into Rangers before the patient has actually expired. And I go back to this point that Celtic must still win this title. Now, there's no point in everybody jumping up and down shouting at the radio. It's purely and simply arithmetic. There are 27 points to be played for. The gap is 8 points. Therefore, there is still work to be done.
Of course, but I think where most people come back at that, and where Steven Gerrard himself, you know, kind of half was half writing off the challenges, that, and I don't want this to be an arithmetic lecture, that means Rangers are going to have to, say Rangers win all nine of the remaining games,
yeah,
Celtic could still get away with winning, you know, seven of those six. You know, they're going to have to, there's still a big swing that has to happen.
Okay, yeah, of course. But there is my arithmetical case. Now we move on to Steve Gerrard as an individual. He will get this season as the great former Liverpool player, Istanbul. All of the titles won, or the cups rather, won by Liverpool during his time as captain. Next season, he'll become just another manager, and that will go into the bin. So that's why he's saying that he must get something next season, because everyone knows Europe, as Alex said, was terrific for Rangers, made them a lot of money, and that's fine. The Rangers fans don't care about Europe.
Well, they do, because you can't just forget about it completely,
yeah,
can you?
But they don't care about it nearly as much as they care about getting back at Celtic. They don't care nearly as much about getting back at Celtic. So they need this 10 in a row nightmare to end for them. If it does go to 8, then next season Steven Gerrard is under immense pressure. And if he can't stop 9, he'll be off.
Fraser Wishart, we've not spoken to you since Tuesday night. What do you make of this current debate?
Well, the debate, a lot of it seems to be around stats and points and games compared to last year. But, I mean, any day looking at it, you can use stats whatever you want. Any day looking at it objectively, would say Rangers are in a better position, in a better side than they were at this time last season. I mean, they were in total array on the field of play, amongst the players, amongst the management as well. So they are in a better place. But when it comes to the big games against Aberdeen this year, they have fallen short. I didn't see the game on Tuesday, but I was at the semi-final against Aberdeen, where they were very poor. And Aberdeen weren't great on the day, but won the game. So when it comes to the big games, they have fallen short. And I think it's down to a lack of goals, other than Alfredo Morelos, when it comes to key points. If Morelos doesn't score, Tavernier scored a lot of dead balls and penalty kicks. But other than that, you know, I don't think Andy's really close to even double figures in the squad. And I think that's been an issue. And I think Hugh's right. I mean, there's still an outside chance Rangers are, you know, a chance of winning the league. But I just don't see it. They'd have to win every single game. The two Old Firm games would mean that Celtic don't have any kind of way to slip. But I think Celtic will win the league. By the end of the season, you judge it by what did the Rangers fans and Rangers board of directors expect at the start of the season. I don't think many expected the league title. But I think they did expect a trophy, they did expect a cup,
And from a financial perspective, getting knocked out of the quarterfinals, you don't even get the glory or the money, sorry, of the semi-final and the final as well. So that's going to be a black mark as well. So I think the Cups are the main area. I think they are closer to Celtic than they were last year, but Celtic are still a better team. And over the summer, it's going to be interesting because there'll be huge changes at both football clubs. But yeah, I think in general, they are in a better position than last year, but still short, I think, of where people expect them to be.
OK, let's hear from Steven Gerrard then. This is what he had to say yesterday, reacting to the Cup defeat and looking at the bigger picture as well.
I've been a bit low and a bit flat, but I'm fine. I've picked myself back up. I'm ready for the next challenge, and I will guarantee you that I will improve myself personally, and I will do everything I can to improve things. That's all I can do. There had to be a lot of change when I took over in the job. I knew I weren't going to sort the problem out in one transfer window, not even two. But without a doubt, we've moved forward. We've improved. Players that were here before have raised the game. Players that we've brought in, the majority have stood up and done really well. Some haven't, so we're aware of that. And we'll continue to try and improve the 11, continue to try and improve the 18. What I can do is guarantee the supporters here that every bit of time and effort and energy from myself, from Mark Allen, from the recruitment team, we're doing everything we can to make Rangers a better team and a winning team. And my confidence hasn't changed that I can make that happen. But it's not going to happen overnight. Rome wasn't built in a day. And this job was huge when I walked in, and it was huge for a reason, because a lot of things needed fixing on and off the pitch, and we're doing everything we can to make that happen. There will be change here. There'll be new players, there'll be better players, because the current players need some help and support to keep growing and keep improving and give them a better chance of competing for what's available. So there will be change. We will get more quality and add to it, and we will improve, of course we will, but I don't expect the same terms and numbers, because I don't think we need a squad overhaul. I think we need some bits of magic, a couple of marquee players to add to what we've got to maybe go to another level.
Gordon Dale.
I hear the boys and saying about the progression. I always thought this game was a results-driven business. And you've got to be honest and say the results haven't been that great, especially in the cup competitions, the way they've got put out of them. You look at their league campaign. Three games in a row is the most that they've won. I thought you'd expect more for that. And if you can't have progression at any level, spending the amount of money that Rangers have spent, he's brought in 17 players. He's spent a lot of money. Is the progression, if you were sitting as a fan or on the board saying that is good enough for the amount of money that's been out of this club on players?
The Rangers players are winning.
So just to ask a question, you're saying that if you haven't spent that kind of money, you'd be looking for that. I think everybody agrees where they would probably expect to have win further in the cup, and you're actually, I think we're in agreement that you probably look for a little bit more, and you know, in the league as well, in terms of some of the games, in terms you've mentioned three in the bounce and things. However, you mentioned there that, you know, with the amount of money spent, I'm sure there was as much money spent the year before, and it turned out to be an absolute shambles, and they're probably still paying the price for that, because they'll be picking up the tabs for Herrera and that, and guys that have still gone out on loan. So you can, if you want to gauge the two of them that way, Gordon, in terms of the money spent last year, which was an absolute shamble compared to this, for me there has been progress there.
But is the results any different, Alec? Apart from, yes, OK, they're 8 points behind Celtic, they'll be knocked out of the cup competitions.
Yeah.
You know, so if you put the managers together and put their records together, there's not a big difference here. So if you're saying last year the money that got put at the club is an absolute shambles, what are you saying about this year then? Is it different because it's Steven Gerrard that's the manager?
No, because when you look at, Daz, when you actually look at the European progress for starters, they're actually a position ahead of where they were. They finished last year. Now, we've obviously got a few games to negotiate before we get to the end of this season where we can actually make an informed decision on here. Yeah. It's important the Rangers try and get the result today.
The public happen to believe that the press, the media in general, go easy on Steven Gerrard because of who he is. That won't be the case for much longer. As I say, in the first season, you are Steven Gerrard icon. Next season, he's just another manager. And if he doesn't win a trophy next season, he'll prove that he's just another manager, because Rangers will get rid of him.
I think when, what was it, 5,000 fans turned up at Ibrox for the unveiling of Steven Gerrard.
Possibly even more, possibly. I can't remember, yeah.
I think, I'm with Daz in this, they expected Steven Gerrard to deliver something. Now, I'm not saying the league, I think a lot of Rangers fans would have been realistic about that. But I think when you're chatting about the spend, and I know what you're saying, Alex, that it was probably similar last season, but then when they see them bringing in guys like Davis and Defoe, there would have been realistic expectation that Rangers were going to challenge for the Scottish Cup, having already been dumped out of the League Cup. I think there'll be an element of the Rangers fans that are hugely disappointed that once again there is no silverware. I do think Steven Gerrard will get time, but the relationship with him and Mark Allen is going to be hugely important from now until the first day of next season, because he's already admitted that the players that he's brought in haven't really done the job. He's just said basically there that we need better players, we're going to get more quality in, we need marquee signings, basically saying that the guys we brought in, or some of the guys we brought in, haven't been good enough. So they two need to get together, and it's a huge summer, because what if Steven Gerrard has another transfer window and he comes out in the first months of next season and it's not going quite right? How long do Rangers last? But that's you know, in the future. But I think there'll be Rangers fans disappointed that there wasn't one of the cups delivered.
Yeah, I mean, Mev's a Rangers fan on Twitter who says, I didn't expect the title in a period of transition, but I admit I did expect at least one cup. I suppose that will be it in a nutshell, Fraser Wishart, because you can't guarantee cup success. Cups are difficult. You know, you can lose them in various ways, but if you can at least get to a final, you know, give yourself the day out. You know, this was the quarter final of the cup that Rangers crashed out on. That, there's not really any other way of spinning that, is there?
No, not at all. Not at all. You can't spin the poor performances in the cup ties. And you know, if you win a cup, it stops Celtic getting the treble, which is looking more and more likely. So it's as simple as that. It stops the bragging rights. It takes them a wee step forward. And I think the guy tweeted in there is absolutely spot on, and I think probably epitomises what most Rangers supporters think. But it's the manner in which they've gone out of the big cup games that's probably more disturbing than anything else. It's really, in the big games, we're now a bit of a whimper, and I think that is a bit of a problem.
But the problem is a simple, uncomplicated world. Yes, the cups have been a disappointment, from Hibs winning in the final to Motherwell putting Rangers out to Aberdeen doing it twice this season. But there's only one thing that consumes Rangers supporters, and that's Celtic winning 10 in a row. And if Steven Gerrard can't stop it this season, he must do it next season, or else I believe Rangers will say, well, we're not getting into the 10 in a row season with him in charge then. He's had two shots at it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. But again, it goes down to how well he does next season here, because you were getting Rangers fans coming on. I think most people would expect to at least get to a final, try and add some silverware. And we have to put it in context, and Hugh always highlights the 10 in a row, but you have to step back as well in terms of effectively where Rangers were last year. This club were an absolute shambles. He's had two transfer windows, and then you have to put it in context where Celtic were in terms of the treble on back-to-back seasons. So Celtic are, you know, got all the resources, they've got all the players, and they've got the kids coming through as well. Rangers are trying to bridge that gap, and it's extremely difficult. But you're absolutely right, Hugh, in terms of Steven Gerrard has to try and stop that.
Okay, let's leave that one there, because we've got 20 minutes until kick-off in the big games across the country. Rangers Kilmarnock, Hamilton Hearts, Aberdeen Livy, Hibs Motherwell, and in the Championship, Falkirk Partick Thistle. We go back around the grounds next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Great results for Scottish accident and injury victims for 40 years.
15 minutes to kick off around the country. Alex Ray, Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans are here in the studio. Let's go back around the grounds and build up to kick off. Aberdeen against Livingston, Dave Galloway. Is there a greater expectation now, Dave, that Aberdeen get their home league form back on track, particularly on the back of what they managed to achieve in Glasgow during the week?
Gordon, that's very much the case. You know, Aberdeen must win today if they've got any chance of stopping Rangers, moving completely out of reach in second place. The gap is currently 8 points. And the Dons, they need to look over their shoulders to remember, you know, Kilmarnock are breathing down their necks, just 1 point behind them. But it's going to be a tough one today. Livy, after a losing run, you know, they look like they're getting back on track. A good 3-1 win over St Johnstone last weekend, you know, and they've made things difficult for Aberdeen in their two previous meetings this season.
Let's hear from the managers then. Derek McInnes first up.
We recognise the challenge of both games in Glasgow, tough games, but we also spoke about how it's brilliant games to be involved in. We should be relishing the opportunity, and you know, I've been pleased with so much that the players have gave. I think first of all the 0-0 at Celtic Park, and then another night, another clean sheet against a good Rangers team who normally score at will and ask the question of you. And you know, it was a brilliant effort from everybody involved. You know, the players really knocked their pan in, gave everything to get that desired result, and the importance of getting the club into a semi-final was clear. So delighted that we've managed to come through two tough games, two clean sheets.
And of course it's Gary Holt in the away dugout today.
It's a wonderful game to go and play. They've played the Old Firm back to back, had two phenomenal results, as they'll see it. It's a test for our lads to go against the, probably for me, the second best team in the league. The league position told that last year. Year on year they've been second. They've been in cup finals, cup semi-finals, and they're an exciting team to go and play. And we've matched them in two games. We've not got nothing out of the games, but they've been close fought. We lost 3-2 up there, we lost 2-1 here. So we know what they're good about. We know their strengths, but they also know what we're good about. So it should be a really exciting game and one I'm looking forward to.
Let's go back to Hamilton against Hearts. Fraser Wishart is watching that one. No St Mirren today, Fraser. And with Dundee playing against Celtic tomorrow, one of the days I suppose Hearts will try and take advantage of that and get some points on the board at home.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you look at the Hamilton Accies fixtures, as I mentioned earlier on, looking at them this morning, and before the split, they play Kelly away, Livingston at home, and St Mirren at home. So, seven of their last eight games are going to be against teams in the bottom six, and they must fancy themselves, Accies, over the next four games to put a wee bit of distance between themselves and the teams at the bottom of the table. Of course, Brian Rice has come in. I think he's done okay so far. He seems to have got a bit more out of the players. Didn't really have time to bring in his own players. But when you look at those fixtures, you know, you fancy Accies to maybe just sneak it towards the end of the season, but you never know when you get to the split, and that's the important part just now, is getting as many points as you can get. Hearts, on the other hand, they're looking for third or fourth perhaps to get into Europe, but they've got Aberdeen at home, Rangers away, and Hibs at home before the split as well, so they've got a lot of big games to now and at the end of the season. So exciting times for the Hearts supporters. From an Aki's point of view, to get anything out of today, because they've got a poor record against Hearts for a number of years, a draw today would be a fantastic result. I don't think they'll get it. I think Hearts would just about be strong enough to win by the odd goal, but a point today for Aki's. And if they could sneak a win, they go 7 points ahead going into the international break. A couple of weeks for Dundee and some time to think about it.
Let's hear from Brian Rice.
It doesn't have to be a team at the bottom of the league, a team at the top of the league. You know, a win, the atmosphere is different. You know, it just is. That's football, and it always has been. It'll never change. A win gives you confidence, you know, and people's got a spring in their step. You know, defeat sets you back a wee bit, but you know, you've got to be bigger than that. You get in the next one and say, come on, let's get going. It's done and dusted. I keep saying and I keep repeating, you can't do anything about the past. You can only affect the future. You know, last week's gone. Yeah, we were hurting last weekend, and it took a few days to get out of the system, but that's gone now. Hearts is our focus.
Under day, they're a good side, and that's the same with a lot of teams in this league. You come up against them when they're in a really good form and having a good day, then it'll be difficult for us. But we have to do our best. Hamilton will play the way they play, so we have got to play our best to give us the best chance possible. You know, anybody who goes up to Aberdeen and gets all 3 points is obviously capable of beating just about anybody in the league, so it'll be a tough game for us.
Steve Cowan's watching Hibs against Motherwell in the battle for the top six. Steve, Hibs will have all the expectation of being at home. I'm sure the Easter Road faithful certainly expect a top six finish. How much of it today is going to come down to stopping Motherwell's youngsters? The likes of Hasty and Turnbull have been grabbing all the headlines recently.
Yeah, I think it's a good point you make. And the Hibs fans do expect their team over the last two or three years to do well, get up the league, and obviously Neil Lennon got them to a good finish the last season there. But it's going to be difficult this afternoon. You know, Motherwell, as you say, coming here with all the young players in the team, and you know, the last nine league games, they've won seven of those, so that's a real testament to what Stephen Robertson is starting to put together at Motherwell. Hibs, on the other hand, yet, you know, Paul Hecking, bottom, he's got undefeated in four league games, three wins and a draw, so a great start for him. And the signing of Mark McNulty, I think it makes all the difference. I think six goals he's got in his last six or seven games, gets a Scotland call-up as well, Canberra also scoring. So, as I said earlier on, I think this afternoon the fans came in for a real treat here, with both teams looking to get that top six place.
Yeah, it should be a cracker in the capital. Let's go into the Championship. Our featured match this afternoon, Falkirk against Partick Thistle. Andrew McLean, not only is this a huge game because they're both round about each other in the league and they go head to head, but also the other teams have fallen foul to the weather, so a chance for points to go on the board.
Yeah, exactly. A win for either side, it would take them above Queen of the South into seventh place. It would also help them pull further away from Alloa, who have been in really poor form in recent weeks. Alloa sit bottom of the table with 26 points, Partick Thistle on 28, and Falkirk have played a game more than those two. They're on 29, so 3 points would be absolutely massive for either side if they managed to get it today. But you look at the difference in the two teams, they've obviously improved in recent weeks. They made their changes in January. Falkirk seem to have found a level of consistency, I think, that maybe Partick Thistle haven't. Falkirk have only lost once in the last nine games, whereas Partick Thistle, they sort of go from game to game and you never really know what side they're going to turn up. I remember I was at Partick Thistle against Ross County for Super Scoreboard a few weeks ago. They were 2-0 up at half time, they ended up losing 4-2, so it's not even sort of game to game, it's been half to half that they've struggled for consistency. But in terms of pulling away from Alloa, they both get goal scorers as well, which is really vital when you're down at the bottom of the table. Zach Grudden's been in great form for Falkirk, and you've got Scott McDonald, who's really coming onto a game for Partick Thistle as well. So I think it'll be very hard to predict this one today, but the 3 points for either side would be absolutely massive.
I suppose the important thing, Hugh Keevans, is that there are signs there for both Thistle and Falkirk, isn't there? It's not all doom and gloom, because there have been plenty of signs in recent weeks that they can get out of it. It's just about outperforming your rivals.
Listen, they're so tight down at the bottom of that league that they're by no means certain that Partick Thistle are in trouble. I thought they were very unlucky midweek in the cup. I thought they were denied a solid penalty claim in the last seconds of the game, which would have taken it to 2-2. So they are good enough to get a result at Falkirk today. I'm not going to say they will, because Gary Caldwell would then be entitled to phone a solicitor.
Okay, that's the scene set. We've got about 7 minutes to go until kickoff. We are going to give you a bit of a breather, and then it's back to Ibrox for the big one.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. A team that gets results every week. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson, Alex Ray and Gordon DL are here waiting for your calls, so don't hang about. 0141 951 1025. Another frustrating afternoon for you Rangers fans. What did you make of it today, and what about the bigger picture for what that means going forward for the rest of the league campaign? Happy Hamilton fans, I would imagine. What a result that is. Aberdeen, what is going on with you? You go to Glasgow and you get results for fun these days, but can't do the business at home against Livingston. And Celtic up against Dundee tomorrow. Give us all your thoughts. 0141 951 1025. Let's hear from you right now. If rugby's your thing, it might not be for much longer tonight, because with 2 minutes on the clock, it's England 7, Scotland 0 already. Hugh Keevans, not going to plan.
Where's Mighty Mouse? I mean, get him on. Is he injured or?
I think he maybe retired a few years ago, so we'll leave it at that. Let me give you some full-time scores before we take the calls. In the Premiership this afternoon, it finished Aberdeen 1, Livingston 1, Hamilton 1, Hearts 0, Hibs 2, Motherwell 0, Rangers 1, Kilmarnock 1. Into the Championship, Falkirk 1, Partick Thistle 1. In League 1, it was Arbroath 2, East Fife 1, Forfar 2, Raith Rovers 1, and Stenhouse Muir 0, Stranraer 1. In League 2, Annan 3, Edinburgh City 1, Clyde 3, Stirling Albion 1, and Queen's Park 4, Elgin City 1. Finally, the English Premier League, Bournemouth 2, Newcastle 2, Burnley 1, Leicester 2, West Ham 4, Huddersfield 3. Hugh Keevans, what are you expecting tonight?
Well, the Rangers fans will be unhappy, deeply unhappy. They've lost a Scottish Cup quarter-final tie at Ibrox, and a few days later, they've dropped two possibly significant points in the league. They have handed Celtic the opportunity to go 10 clear at Dundee tomorrow, and that would be 10 clear before Celtic's next game at home to Rangers, where they would have the possibility of going 13 points clear. I repeat, Neil Lennon is a man doing an audition for Brendan Rodgers' job. If you want to have a successful audition, you're singing and dancing. If you want to have an unsuccessful audition, you're coughing and spluttering. So the ball is now firmly in Celtic's court at Dens Park tomorrow, and the Rangers supporters will be feeling disillusioned now.
Let's do it then. 0141 951 1025. Joe is a Rangers fan in Cambus Lang. Sum it up for us today, Joe.
Absolutely woeful, guys. Absolutely woeful. No end product. I thought the team looked nervous. They just looked as if they didn't know what they were doing. He's experimenting, dropping Barisic, bringing Halliday back in. By half time, he put Halliday off and brings Barisic back on. There's just no end product. I know he needs time, and I'm not advocating I'm getting sacked or anything like that, but I just really am now concerned, thinking, can he turn that around, and is he capable of doing the job? Because that was absolutely woeful today. Woeful again. We'll be lucky to hold on to second. Never mind challenging for the title. We'll be lucky to hold on to second playing like that.
Well, luckily for you, Joe, Aberdeen are not doing their bit, so that gap is as it was before today. Gordon, a word that Joe mentioned that I'm interested in was that Rangers looked nervous. Is that something you noticed?
Yeah, I think they looked nervous when Kamano went one in front, because you could hear the groans from the stands. The Rangers fans weren't happy. Steven Gerrard no doubt is feeling the pressure, because when Rangers scored to make it 1-1, I looked down at the dugout and he was going absolute ballistic, asking for a reaction from the supporters to try and urge his team on to go and win. They had bags of possession today, especially second half. It was one-way traffic. They had all the ball they wanted. And I agree with the caller. If you take Morelos out of this team, they're Joey average. They created nothing really, apart from when the ball went into Morelos, magnificent, the defender's schoolboy defending, but Morelos loves the fact that he's so tight to him, he's so strong, he turns him and puts the ball in the back of the net. Morelos, I thought, was different class second half. I really did. I thought he worked his socks off, he got his goal, he tried everything. But he needs help. There was nothing else there for him. As much as they had the ball, it was tippy-tappy and then to the wide areas, put in. Davis goes in on goals. And instead of
Shooting.
For a guy with his experience, I'm thinking, what are you doing? Just go and hit the target. You've got a great opportunity scoring. The Rangers fans are letting Rangers players know that they're not happy. Now, Alec will tell you, we've played here. When you're not playing well and you're not getting the results the Rangers fans want, they come and let you know, and you've got to stand up and have big shoulders and say, right, I'll take the responsibility. Some of the Rangers players look today, correctly so, a little bit nervous because the pressure was on them. But all credit to Kilmarnock, they came here and parked a double-decker bus and says to Rangers, come on then. Break us down.
Gordon, see when they went to two up top, when Defoe came on, did they have a wee bit more impetus? What was the kind of shape then and the feeling about the place?
Yeah, they went with the two wide men, two up top. They tried to go and attack. I've got to say, you know, I think Gordon touched on it at half time. People do criticise Steven Gerrard for his decisions late on with the substitutions. He decided at half time, no, enough's enough. I totally agree with Candace. I thought he was dreadful. I don't know what was up with him. So Gresda come on to try and give them. But this is where I can't understand it. I watched the first half and I thought Kent on the left-hand side had the better of O'Donnell. He looked dangerous every time he got it on the left-hand side. And I'm thinking, give the ball to him. He's a guy that can create something for you. In the second half, he brings Gresda on. What does he do?
Put him on the left.
He puts him on the left and brings Kent over to the right. And I'm thinking, I can't understand that. Why do you not just leave Kent over there and say, give the wide guys the ball and create... Defoe, come on, it's always difficult coming on off the bench. I don't see him forming a partnership with Morelos. The two of them don't link up, they don't play balls into each other, don't make runs off each other. They're individual strikers for me. I don't think there'll be a partnership ever made there. But I've got to say, if you're Stevie Clark, he'll be in the dressing room absolutely delighted. And right at the end there, I know what's going to happen here in the phone. People are going to come in and give the referee a bit of stick for some of the decisions he made. But right at the end there, the Kilmarnock lad was straight through. He had the pace on, I think it was Miller, on Goldston.
Yep.
And Goldston absolutely wipes him out. He doesn't even try for a tackle. It's not like he's going for a ball. He goes for a man and absolutely wipes him out. And I think he got a yellow card for it. But on the show today, I said it before, and I'll say it again. You cannot defend. You cannot defend the way that Rangers defend and expect to win things. It will not happen.
Particularly in the context of this week, Hugh. I was about to bring Joe back in, but he's gone. Yeah. Particularly this week, you're looking for that reaction. Even if it is too late, even if it is too little too late to go and win the league, so much negativity following the Aberdeen Cup exit. You're entitled's a funny word in football, I get that. But as a Rangers fan, you're certainly going there expecting more of a reaction.
You hear fluctuations in form, and Daniel Candace appears capable of going from peaks to troughs. So he's hooked at halftime. But the atmosphere that Gordon Dalziel is describing is one in which I think too many Rangers players disappear into their own shell. They don't get it. They don't get what it is to play for Rangers. And that's a worry for the supporters, a worry for Steven Gerrard, and no wonder he speaks about getting in others with stronger mentality.
Well, we're going to hear from Steven Gerrard soon, as he does his post-match media duties. Let's get more on the phone lines from Derek, a Rangers fan in Sandy Hills. Hi, Derek. Oh, hold on, we can't get Derek. We're having some technical difficulties getting Derek on the phone, but we'll get him in just a couple of minutes. Gordon DL, what would be the positives from Rangers if there were any?
Well, they get back into the game, and I thought Morelos' second half was different class. I really did. He just has this thing, and you boys can see it. You know, you get replays in there and have a look at it. I just caught it at the end, and Morelos turns round at half time and gets himself involved. And that's what opposition players will now do to Morelos. They'll try and wind him up. He was lucky because if the referee sees it, the referee might have a decision to make. So he came out in the second half and he got his goal. When he plays, he's a very, very good player. There's no doubt about that. Rangers lack something here. And I don't know if it's the great thing about everybody talks number 10. They lack something.
Right, let's get the thoughts of Derek, who is now on the line. Hi, Derek.
Good evening, panel.
Hello, how are you after that, Derek?
I says after the Hibs game, just about Christmas time, I was on, and I said I would have replaced the manager then, and nothing has made me change my mind on him. That's, I think it's 14 games he's played against Aberdeen, Hibs and Kilmarnock and won 3. Totally unacceptable. And Alec Ray's failure to criticise the Rangers manager is embarrassing. How has he improved the team, Alec, when you could scrutinise every single one of his signings? Even Ryan Kent is at 5-8 assists and 5 goals. That's not good enough for a Rangers winger.
Well, we said earlier on the show that we felt as if the Rangers wide guys should contribute more, so I totally agree with you there, Derek. In terms of where Rangers were this time last year, they were in absolute disarray. They were talking about Murty leaving on the back of the Coutinho thing. For me, we're a wee bit more stable in that regard. I totally agree in terms of that there should be more. I'm looking at some of the footage today as well. Not good enough. And I think what Gordon DL's trying to say over at Ibrox as well is that he's saying you need a mentality, you need to grind out results. It's not going to be pretty all the time. And there's obviously a disappointment and a frustration after that. But for me, there has been progression. You've seen two European exploits, two games with Pedro Coutinho out against Minnows from Luxembourg. This year you've had 14 games, you've managed to beat Celtic. So this is things that Rangers haven't managed to do last season. So I know there's a frustration now and the consistency's beginning to be a worry. And Steven Gerrard has to find a way to that improve.
Derek?
Alec, you're not any better off than last season. You're 4 points in front last season. Maybe I might even be out 3 points.
It was one point going into today.
Well, clearly, you know, Derek represents that element of the Rangers support, and I couldn't tell you what percentage that would be, but that element of the Rangers support who are looking and saying, no, I don't accept that things are that much better. And for me, as I say, the European argument is great. The results were good. The money made was terrific. But for me, the European argument pales into insignificance for the Rangers supporters because they're thinking we are making no progress whatsoever towards the main thing in Rangers supporters' lives, and that is catching Celtic.
Hugh, I'm listening to Derek there. His frustration. I'm listening to Derek there, and his frustration's clearly going over. To mention Kent, to a man, every Rangers fan I've spoken to has been actually impressed with Kent. We listened to Gordon Dale there saying he was getting the better of O'Donnell on the left hand side today as well. And the frustration. So you're actually saying to guys that are actually doing a decent job, you're throwing him into the mix as well as if they are not working.
The point we were making earlier on though is this is all become clearer at the end of the season where we see the points gap, what the points gap is between Celtic and Rangers, and Hugh painted a perfectly clear picture what could happen. Celtic could go to Dens Park tomorrow and win, which takes the points to 10. By the end of this month, Celtic beat Rangers at 13 before the split. Now that then becomes a problem when it's at 13 and it could increase. Mm-hmm. And by the end of the season, you could be looking at a huge gap. Then I think you'll get a lot of Rangers fans going, where is the progress?
I suppose that the thing would be, Derek, because I can hear the Rangers fans now like yourself saying, well, that might not happen and we might claw those points back. The problem being, what evidence would you use to suggest that Rangers can go on that winning run from now to the end of the season? There doesn't seem to be any sign of it so far, does there, Derek?
Something cracking back in.
Yes, on you go.
He's not won more than 3 games in a row. And Alec going on about Europe. His Holy Grail was brought in to stop 10 championships in a row, Alec. Never mind Europe or any cups. The Holy Grail is to stop 10 championships in a row. And if you can't do it, it should be removed.
Derek, the thing is, Derek, you have to listen, son. Derek, the problem you have is, at the start of the season, this club was in disarray from top to bottom. You think the Rangers are going to come in, Steven Gerrard's going to come in, and he's going to transform that to a treble. Everybody in this panel didn't think that they were actually, nobody thought that Rangers were going to win the league this year, and it was about trying to kind of bridge that gap. I take the point on board that Mark says it may well be more points, but all they can do is keep working and ticking away. For me, it was never an option this season.
Derek?
Oh, I totally disagree with you, Alex.
So you expected them to win the league?
You've only got one team to beat in the league, that is really Celtic. You should be beating the other teams with your budget. You're now becoming an embarrassment to this nation if you can't see that. Your failure to criticise Rangers managers, you're meant to be a pundit, not a supporter, Alec.
Derek, see what you just said there? They're supposed to be beating other way. Where are they in the league?
Over a season, should be beating Motherwell.
Where are they in the league?
You
contradicted yourself. You says that they don't expect them to finish above Celtic. So where should they be in the league then?
Rangers should be winning the league.
You're delusional, son. I think you need to go and have a lie down.
01419511025. We'll leave it there and squeeze one more in before the break. David's in Paisley.
Hiya.
Hi, David. What do you make of it today?
Listen, Alec, for you to say you're delusional, you ought to calm yourself down, pal. Calm yourself down, turning and saying that. You're an ex-Rangers player, so just calm yourself with that.
David, he said...
No. First point being, I've listened to Gordon DL, and for once in my life, I actually agree with Gordon DL over the last couple of weeks. What has Ross McCrory got to do to get a game in the Rangers team? That's my first point. My second point is that, once again today, I've watched their manager all season. I'll lay my cards firmly on the table. I don't like Steven Gerrard. I've never liked Steven Gerrard, but he's Rangers manager and I want him to succeed. Simple as that. I want him to succeed. But I've watched their Rangers manager all season, and when the going gets tough, he stands on the touchline with his hands in his pocket, and then he goes and sits in the dugout with his hands in his pocket. Now, Tuesday night, he done it the whole game. Today, he done it right up to we scored the equaliser. Then he came out and gave it the big I am to the enclosure, waving his fist, this, that and the next thing. And then within 5 minutes, he's sitting in the dugout with his hands in his pocket again. Now, somebody mentioned the word leadership in the Rangers team. Leadership should come from the side of the park. And Steven Gerrard, for me, is not showing leadership becoming of a Rangers manager. Now, do I want Steven Gerrard replaced? No, because I don't think we could get into the scenario of keep replacing managers. But he's not above criticism. And I'll tell you something right now. Yes, his first job in management, but by God, has he made a hell of a lot of mistakes this season.
Well, mistakes are allowable in your first season, but the point I made at the start of the programme is, in the first season, you are the former great Liverpool footballer, now Rangers manager. In the second season, you're just the Rangers manager. And he'll, in all probability, end this one trophyless. He's got to win a trophy next season, or he's the ex-Rangers manager.
No, he's got to win the league next season, Hugh. That's what Alec Ray's comment about that. He's got to win the league. That's a disgusting comment for you, Alec, to say that to a Rangers supporter on
What's
there.
That?
Maybe if it's a general conversation you're having in the pub, you say that to a Rangers supporter.
David.
Not on air. That's a disgusting comment to make to a Rangers supporter.
David.
You've got to remember, he's one of the guys that paid your wages when you were a Rangers player. So I think you owe that man an apology for saying that.
Can I speak now, David, yeah?
Aye, you can.
Right, well, what I said was, he says he didn't expect him to finish above Celtic. So I've put a point to him and says, well, where should they finish then? Second, where they're at the moment. So that I was trying to highlight to him, and he was keeping going on and on. So what I'm saying is he's delusional, because that's exactly where they should be.
0141 951 1025. Steven Gerrard hasn't quite done his media duties yet, I don't think, but we're going to be hearing from him soon.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation. They know the score. Talk to Thompsons.com.
Hugh Keevans, Alex Ray, Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. They're waiting to take your calls. So 01419511025 is the number you need if you would rather tweet. We are at Clyde SSB. We will be hearing from as many managers as possible once they do their media conferences following today's games. Let's go straight back to the phones though. Tom's a Rangers fan in Falkirk. Sum up your feelings today, Tom.
Hi guys, this is my point to Gordon, all the panel, in fact. I've been on a few times, as people, as the guys know. I'm bitterly disappointed in the results the past 2 days, and today again especially. But where'd the Rangers go from here? Okay, Steven Gerrard's first time in management, and he's bound to make mistakes, but the Rangers fans are screaming from possibly to go. They've got to stick by him, give him another track, give him next year and see what he can do then. I think they need to sign in the summer. I hope they can sign a decent right back that can defend, because I agree with Gordon Dale. Tavernier's good going forwards, but he can't defend. They need a good centre half. Okay, Cathy's come in today. I wasn't at the game, we couldn't make it today. But Cathy, they need a decent centre half, because his defence are not been good this season at all. They need a number 10. A decent number 10, possibly, I hate to say it, possibly in the Tom Rodgick or Callum McGregor, a player like that. And also, if Morelos goes, which I think he might in the summer, then the profit goal scorer.
To deal with things that's, specifically.
That's my point, but the Rangers fans have got to stick by the club. And people like the last guy came on morning about Steven Gerrard, that just doesn't wash with me.
Fans are going to the game. They pay the money. You know, within the bounds of reason, they are allowed to say what they think. If they don't think the manager's doing a good job, they're allowed to say.
To be fair,
so.
Tom's not saying they're not allowed. He's just saying he disagrees. So what do you make of the overall point?
Specifically dealing with Steven Gerrard, he will not be removed. He will get another transfer window. He will start next season. If Rangers don't win the title next season and Celtic extend it to 9 in a row, I, in my personal opinion, believe that Steven Gerrard will not be the Rangers manager the season thereafter.
At 2 seconds, Tom, let me get Gordon's take from inside the stadium. Gordon, we're at that stage of the season. Fans of all teams are kind of looking at areas for improvement. Tom wants, you know, a right back, a centre back, a number 10, a striker if Morelos goes. The problem is that the list is getting longer. It's not easy to do that.
Yeah, they need players. Tom said that Tavernier can't defend. Me personally, I don't think Rangers can defend. You watch Kilmarnock's goal today. Mm-hmm. It is absolutely schoolboy for me. Gordon, here's my point in this. Do not blame Steven Gerrard. Steven Gerrard, at the end of the day, has been put in a position from an under-18 coach at Liverpool. He's going to make a million mistakes in a club as big as this. Now, the question mark is, if Rangers are trying to chase Celtic, stop this 10 in a row, should they have employed an under-18 coach from Liverpool and an under-23 coach to take on that task? Steven Gerrard, like Alec Ray will tell you, Mark Wilson will tell you, myself, at our levels, you go from a player to a manager. It is a completely different job and you will make a million mistakes. I looked at the Rangers manager today, and I've never seen him expressing the relief when Rangers scored. He nearly jumped into the stand. He was that happy and he was trying to urge it. It was the tension in him. He's feeling the pressure. He's a young guy and his first job, and he's come under pressure. I do believe he'll get next year, and I hope he does. And I hope he goes on to be a terrific manager. But he's learning his trade. But he's learning it at a big club that want to stop Celtic.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Alec, you're always going to get fans who are angry and maybe don't like what the manager's doing, but I don't detect any genuine, serious suggestions that Steven Gerrard won't be the Rangers manager next season. So I think we can kind of knock that one in the head, I think.
For me, he will be there regardless, because, you know, they've invested a lot of money in him. They've given him the opportunity to build. Mark Allen was part of that process of bringing Steven Gerrard in as well. And I think what you're seeing tonight is the frustration for the Rangers fans, Gordon. You know, you're getting people coming on. David came on earlier on, had a pop at myself. And then the next one's coming on and saying he didn't fancy Steven Gerrard for the beginning. And in the same breath, they're actually saying, do you know what? I'm still behind them, and he'll probably be here next year. So the emotion's swirling about with the Rangers public at the moment, and it's understandable when you look at, you know, a couple of draws in the league and getting out of the semi-final in the past 8 days or so.
Yeah, Hugh, that's it. We've been talking. There are, depends how big you want to put this in perspective. You've got today, which is obviously disappointing. You want to stretch it out to the week, then it's definitely disappointing. But what that's caused is people to take a bigger step back and look at the overall picture. So there were so many opinions flying about, the scatterguns out, managers, coaches, players, everyone's under the microscope as Rangers try and analyse where they go from here.
Gordon Dalziel, Alec Ray and Mark Wilson have played for Rangers and Celtic. They know these clubs are institutions. They are bigger than any individual, and that includes Steven Gerrard. So if the club believe that Steven Gerrard cannot stop 10 in a row, Steven Gerrard will be removed.
Tom.
Yes, I agree with what the panel said, but I'm going to put a point to particularly Alec. I think Rangers are lacking a leader like himself, like a player that can dig in the midfield. I know Arfield was missing today and Jack was missing, but also if Gerrard, which well, obviously going to be given next year, but if he doesn't stop Celtic winning like nine in a row, because I think Celtic are definitely going to win the league game possibly. Obviously, I think they won the treble, and I hate saying that. But where do Rangers go from then if Gerrard can't stop Celtic winning the league next year? Where do Rangers go?
The Rangers fans are understandably frustrated. The only thing that would be worse tonight is if you're a Rangers fan and a Scotland rugby fan, and you've come home from the game to find out that with 28 minutes on the clock, it's England 29, Scotland 0. And England are about to kick that conversion.
Even I know now a conversion gets you 2 points, because I've watched so many conversions that this started. So it'll be 31-0 shortly.
This is an absolute doing of the highest order. Gordon Dalziel, what about the midfield then? As Tom says, no Arfield or Jack today. Nothing Steven Gerrard could have done about that. Koulibaly comes in, Davison.
Yeah, he could have. I thought it's only personal opinions. I can't see what Ross McCrory has done wrong.
No, I meant he couldn't do anything about the absence of Jack or Arfield.
No, but I think that McCrory should have come in instead of Koulibaly. Davis started off well, had a couple of good efforts. He's not really stamping his authority in games, Gordon. I don't know what's up with him. I said before the game, you can't take away the boy has got bags of ability. He doesn't seem to be showing it just now. Koulibaly was non-existent, I've got to say. I look at young McCrory, I think he's the kind of guy that, you know, they're talking about, I'm not saying he's a leader, but the one thing he'll do, he'll go and get in about things, he'll break things up, he'll make things happen. He's a young, terrific talent. I can't understand why a guy like Koulibaly gets on before him. And it's okay to say after the game, but the midfield today, Rangers had all the ball. See, second half, it was one-way traffic. It really was one-way traffic. But they just ran out of ideas. They had, you know, they had no penetration. They didn't have any 1-2s that would open up the command of defence. And that's got to be down to Stevie Clark. They were well organised. But Rangers fans, they can't be happy with what's happening here.
Well, funny you should say that, because Paul's in Crookston. He's not happy with Rangers, but he's not happy with Kilmarnock either. We're going to take Paul's call after we hear from Stephen Robinson.
You hit the post after the 25 seconds. Do you think that was how it was going to go for the rest of the game? Positive start?
I think probably the first minute of the game, the last minute of the game, rounded it off today. You know, ball hits the post and comes back off Jake when it's a tap in, and then Danny has a great chance and it ricochets back off himself, and it's 3-4 yards out from goal. So I thought, you know, it's disappointing because we've lost from two set plays. You know, the place to guess you come and lose from two set plays. But it's hard to be too hard on the boys, because I thought we dominated large parts of possession, especially second half. But in the bottom two-thirds of the pitch, you know, in the final third of the pitch, I thought we just lacked a wee bit of percentages today. Our final pass, our final cross, our final getting across something was probably the difference. You know, had James put the chance from a yard in, when he takes a touch, you know, it might make it interesting with the last 13-14 minutes. But as I say, difficult to be hard on the players. You know, they give me absolutely everything today.
5 points between them, 3 games to go until the split, Hugh. That's looking like a real tough ask for Motherwell now.
Well,
top six, I mean.
Yeah, but you know, Gordon, every week teams are having a good result followed by a bad result, followed by an indifferent result, followed by a good result. There's no consistency, so I wouldn't give up where Motherwell are concerned just yet.
I think with the form that Hibs are showing, Hugh, over but since Heckenbottom come in, that you're looking at a team that are actually on the front foot.
Yeah, and for 5 points for three games is a lot.
It's too much, because effectively if they win one game, then they have to win the three, and it becomes too much.
I get what Hugh's saying though. I know what yous are saying, guys, but this league has been so inconsistent.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's going to take more than one bad result, I suppose.
I mean, the way your league's going this season, Gordon, you never know.
Okay, let's speak to Paul in Crookston. Hi, Paul.
Hi, I'd like to speak to the panel. First point I'd like to make, Gordon hit it right in the head. Kilmarnock came and parked the bus. They do not let Rangers play football. If they do start playing football, they foul them, put them down and slow the game down to their pace. If you look at the amount of time the goalkeeper took to take
goal kicks,
etc., and their players were dropping down just to waste time. They'd done that for the first 5-10 minutes. So Kilmarnock have to have a look at themselves as a team, because they're not entertaining football. Secondly, we lack a leader. We've never had a leader. James Tavernier, the captain, but he's definitely not a leader. And they want to look at goals, and he has no urgency at all to come out of defence. He's got 30 yards in front of him. He still wants, with a big space, he still wants to pass the ball across the way. And McGregor was to blame for that goal today. So that's my points, and what do you think of that, panel?
I think you were right what you were saying there, Paul, in terms of Alan McGregor. He's come into no man's land, and he's allowed the Kilmarnock player, made up his mind, allowing him to go round and convert it. I think you're absolutely right in terms of your leadership qualities. You're actually looking for players to step up to the mark, a driving force behind this Rangers team, and they don't have that as such. So, and when you look at across the road, Celtic have got them in abundance, and that's what they need to do, Rangers. They need to get players of that ilk. And that's the hard part for Mark Allen and Steven Gerrard, to try and get players to drive this team forward.
I'm not sure about the criticism of Kilmarnock, though. I mean, Kilmarnock are there to do a job for Kilmarnock and to get whatever number of points they can manage.
And is that the way you play football, no entertaining football. You stop the game to suit it to their level, it's not entertaining.
But that's
what riles supporters up for both ends of the teams. But it's hard to sit and watch that. It's hard to sit and watch when Rangers are trying to play football. They foul them, slow them down to the pace of the game, and it takes all the sting out of the game.
But as far as I'm concerned, that's no entertaining football.
Remember, we're supposed to be there to be entertained. We're not getting entertained, because Rangers are only getting allowed to entertain their fans.
You're supposed to be there to be entertained by Rangers. Kilmarnock have to look after their own
pitch. Entertain with Rangers when the other team don't want to play football.
Well, that's up to Rangers then to
be
better.
Paul, I'll tell you what, we can solve this quite easily. Kilmarnock fans can phone in, right? And given that it's a results driven business, I bet you any money the Kilmarnock fans feel pretty entertained tonight.
Aye, because they've drew one each. They're delighted with a nothing each or a one each draw. I just thought I'd like to, a final point, if you don't mind. The only thing that will save Rangers' season this year is, and I know it's kind of far-fetched, if we get two decent results against the Celtic, that might save Rangers' face this year.
Gordon Dale, what do you make of Paul's overall points?
Well, first and foremost, after the game, the Kilmarnock fans stayed in. Obviously, they locked them in for 15, 20 minutes, whatever it may be. And they
not
were
as long as we're locking you in, by the way.
No, exactly. And they were in fine voice. They were absolutely delighted. Yes, Kilmarnock came here. They get everybody. They had a game plan. They parked the bus. They knew Rangers had better players. They get in about Rangers. They made it physical at times. But that's what Stevie Clark, Aberdeen achieved that in midweek as well. Stevie Clark is here to do a job, and Hugh's right, he's here to do a job for Kilmarnock. It's up to Rangers to go and entertain their supporters. Kilmarnock supporters will be absolutely over the moon with the point today.
The comeback's on, Duke Evans, 31-7 at Twickenham. There we go. We're on our way back.
The equaliser of any day now.
We're about to hear from Steven Gerrard, the Rangers manager, the thoughts after that disappointing afternoon coming up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Great results for Scottish accident and injury victims for 40 years.
It's been quite an afternoon. Gordon Dl, Mark Wilson, Alex Ray and Hugh Keevans are here. We're still taking your calls. Plenty of time to get them in. We're on Twitter as well. Let's hear from Steven Gerrard. The big verdict after a frustrating afternoon when Rangers were held at home to Kilmarnock.
Is that your assessment of that performance?
I'm disappointed with the result and dropping another 2 points. Can't get away from that. We've conceded a poor goal. Defensively, we've conceded a very poor goal. And that's obviously give Kilmarnock a huge lift, and then the game becomes even more frustrating and even more difficult for us. But I felt like the reaction from going a goal down, the players have done everything they can to get back in the game and probably done enough to win the game. But I'm very disappointed in the goal we've conceded. And then from that moment, you know, Kilmarnock do everything in their game plan, which is to waste time, to chop men down and foul and keep fouling, and it becomes even more frustrating. But the performance weren't far away from being okay and good enough to win the game. But the reality is we haven't, so we have to take the criticism on the chin.
You can tell from your reaction to the goal as well, how much that equalised.
Well, yeah, I felt like we deserved the equaliser. There was one team trying to play football, trying to create, trying to build, trying to do all the right things that you should be doing on a football pitch. And I felt like we deserved the equaliser. We had a couple of interesting opportunities after that. You know, Davis is in a good area and he doesn't know whether to cross or shoot. And then Defoe gets in with a chance, you think maybe it's the time. We've had some free kicks in decent areas on the edge of the box. We've had a lot of set pieces. We've crossed the ball. We've tried everything we can to do enough to win the game. But we kill ourselves in the first half because two of our defenders decide to stay high and two drop off, and we concede a very poor goal, so the job became even more difficult from that moment.
Well, he's in defensive mode as a manager. He knows subconsciously how this is playing out for the fans and they're not happy, and if he heard any of tonight's programme he'll know that for sure. But to talk about specifically Kilmarnock players chopping down Rangers players, Conor Goldson, I think, was a very lucky man to stay on the park. His challenge towards the end of the game to a Kilmarnock player who's bearing down on goal, I think, could easily have been a red card, a cynical challenge. He took one for the team, as Alison Conroy described it, but the referee, I think, could have sent them off.
Yeah, again, I think it's quite poor that from Steven Gerrard. I mean, it's almost alluding to Paul, the last caller, and saying, you know, Kilmarnock are not there to entertain Steven Gerrard and the Rangers fans. Kilmarnock and Stevie Clark are there to do a job. And Hugh is right when he's talking about Kilmarnock disrupting play. Listen, if Rangers or Celtic go away in Europe and get a result against a bigger side, a 1-1, with the same tactics, people are on here saying, what a result, what a tactical masterclass. So for Stevie Clark to come with a smaller team and do it at Ibrox, there is nothing wrong with that.
Gordon Deal.
Yeah, I listened to his interview there. He's got to remember back to, he's talking about one team trying to do the right things on the pitch. I remember sitting at Celtic Park not that long ago, and Rangers came under Steven Gerrard and parked two buses and never went over a halfway line and tried to spoil the game. So Kilmarnock are within the rights to do what they've done this afternoon. And who's 100% right? Yes, Kilmarnock made it physical. They get in about things. And that's what you've got to do because Rangers have got better players. But Goldston right at the end, I'm sitting watching it and it was incredible. He doesn't even go, he's nowhere near the ball. He just decides, I am taking him right out because he's running in and goal. He should have been red carded.
Okay, let's speak to Charlie who's in Airdrie. Hi, Charlie.
How are you doing, Gordon?
Not too bad. How are you feeling this afternoon?
Got that same as Tuesday night. Exact same thing. Just sitting watching. They say to yourself, when are the other team going to get a goal? Something similar to the goal that scored against Aberdeen. Just cut through it like an egg through butter. Goal, like that. Then the next minute there. Game of the half today. Most amazing time and all the rest there. But people, my point is that people are complaining about Gerrard. I don't even think it's any behaviour, Gerrard. You know yourself, it's always a matter of the manager against the blame. It's the team. The team is absolutely rubbish. There you are, rubbish. We've got two, three players, I keep saying this, Morelos, Cadeus and McGregor. Three players in that team, that's only three players we've got, right? Until he realises that we've paid all that money for Lafferty. He never even got sniff of the day, he never even come on or nothing. He's not done anything since he's joined Rangers. The Defoe's not done nothing. I just go and expect that they get beat every time, you know what I mean? They'll draw like we've done today, you know. That just disillusioned me all. But I wouldn't blame Gerrard. He came on there and he said he's near enough stuck up for them again. I can't believe he's near enough stuck up for them. He should be coming out and tell them straight, listen, you're not going to be at Rangers next season. because you're no day in the business, and that's wrong with it. Because we need people who want to go in that path. And another thing, see Tavernier. How does Tavernier always get a game? He never ever gets dropped. He's needing to get dropped and get taught a lesson. Does he think he's going to get a game every time? So I'm absolutely stunned by it all together, to tell you the truth.
That's a dangerous thing when a supporter mentions the word disillusioned. You can't have disillusioned fan bases, not at a club as big as Rangers. So clearly there's unhappiness with just about every aspect of the team and the way it's been managed at the moment. And the only thing that makes that better is good results. And Steven Gerrard, first of all, has to hope that Dundee do him a favour tomorrow. And then he has to hope that no serious damage is done at Celtic Park, which will only worsen the situation overnight.
Yeah, there's a general frustration. And I think when you just look at Charlie there, he's obviously picked out Tavernier, you know, a guy who's scored 14 goals with several assists as well. And it's just a frustration throughout. And when you listen to Charlie and he's saying he's going there expecting a loss every time now, but you're actually looking at the statistics and you're looking at maybe two losses in the last 16, 18 games or something. So it doesn't really warrant what he's actually saying there. But again, it goes back to that frustration. People are frustrated that they actually can't go over the line. They can't bridge the gap. And, you know, and then that question marks are arising.
I mean, Charlie, you said the only players you think you've got are Morelos, McGregor and Candeas. A lot of Rangers fans who phone in here are overall, not saying today obviously, but overall pretty happy with the likes of Jack, Arfield, Kent. None of them doing it for you?
Not doing it at all for me. Kent today, he's good at dribbling with the ball. He gets the ball and he can beat every player in the park. But at the end of the day, he doesn't have a place nothing where. He said, one shot at goals, it was kind of kicked at himself. It was a daisy kind of, you know. This strength in it are nothing.
Let me ask Gordon, who was there. Gordon, is the final product to the next step for Ryan Kent? I mean, we don't know if he'll be a Rangers player next season, but is that the next step for him in his career?
Well, he's certainly got the ability. The one thing I noticed about him today, on the left side, when he was getting the ball, I thought he was causing problems. He looked tricky. He looked like he was going to create things. And then in the second half, when he was swapped over, he just completely fell out of the game. He didn't have an impact in the game at all. The boy has got ability. But he's got to produce it. The problem with Rangers is consistency, Gordon. It's been like that all season. We said earlier before the show, at the beginning of the show, three games in a row is the most that they've won. That ain't good enough for if you're going to try and challenge for the league.
Let's hear from Stevie Clark.
Happy to believe in with a point?
Yeah, I think we'd have taken the point before we came here. The game worked out pretty much the way we thought it would. I think the big chance that we had just before half time to make it 2-0 was probably a crucial moment in the game. So, we did well, defended well, good shape, use of the ball first half not the best, a little bit better second half on counter attack.
Who's the trophy?
Came off injured after 3 minutes, so we'll let the medics assess it. It looks like a small hamstring injury. We're lucky now because we've got the international break, so hopefully he'll be fit for Hamilton.
The Rangers manager suggesting that this player should have been afforded more protection from your players today. How would you assess the nature of that comment?
We were competitive, start to finish. No more. It was a tricky surface, very wet. But we were competitive. So the referee the game the way he saw fit. If there was going to be any red cards, it would have been for Rangers.
Yeah, he's answered it correctly. And when he says red cards for Rangers, what he means is the Conor Goldson tackle again. We're back to that one. Steven Gerrard was in defensive mode because he knows that the spotlight's on him now. He knows that people are looking at him unfairly. First job, first season. But this is an unforgiving atmosphere in this city. And the Rangers fans are not happy with the way he's managing the team right now. And all of his comments after the game reflected that feeling.
Gondiel, thank you to you on your way home. Happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you.
Oh, happy birthday, Dad.
Thought I'd save it right for the end.
Oh, I forgot.
What is it, 60 what?
Yeah, go on. I'll be 60 odd drinks a night, I'll tell you.
Please be responsible. Gordon DL at Ibrox, thank you to Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Alex Ray for joining me, Gordon Duncan, in the studio. Thanks to the top team all around the grounds. It really was quite a day. Hibs 2, Motherwell 0, Aberdeen 1, Livingston 1, Hamilton 1, Hearts 0. And in the Championship, Falkirk 1, Partick Thistle 1. The big one here that's got everyone talking was Rangers 1, Kilmarnock 1. That led to a very busy phone line, so thank you for the calls and apologies if you didn't get through. But the good news is you can do it all over again on Monday night. By that time, Celtic will have played at Dundee tomorrow, so we'll have all the fallout from that on Monday night, 6 o'clock. Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray will be here. Make sure you join us. GBX is up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Get the result you deserve. Talk to Thompson's.com.